Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the basics of Christianity was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
The truth is that you are right now as Jesus is. One-third of your salvation is over. Your spirit is as perfect and complete as it will be in eternity, a million years from now. Now, you already have love and joy and peace, Galatians 5:22. You've got all of the power of God. It's not out there. And you know, there's a whole group in the body of Christ that has gotten into spiritual warfare. And I'm not meaning to counter anybody if I'm upsetting you. I'm just telling you the truth. There's a lot of people that feel like we got to remove all of the demons over this area, that the demons are blocking the heavens, and they'll cite Daniel chapter 10, where there were demonic powers that kept Daniel's prayer from getting through to God, and they fought for 21 days. And so they'll say there's these demonic powers over Joburg or Cape Town or something, and we got to get in intercession and break it and get a hole through the heavens so that our prayers can reach God. Some of you aren't laughing. This is probably the way you do it. People thought, oh, there's an oppression over this place. People will come in and say, well, that prayer didn't get above the ceiling. You don't need your prayer to get above your nose. God's right here on the inside. He lives on the inside of us. In the Old Testament, God lived in heaven. So they said, rend the heavens and come down. And the demons blocked prayers. But in the New Testament, you are God-possessed. And that's the reason you bow your head when you pray, is so that you can look at God. You say, Father. Some of you look like you got more of God than others, but it's not true, praise God. God lives on the inside of us. So this whole thing about we got to clear a hole in the heavens so our prayers can get up to God, that's an insult to God. And it's taking burdens upon you that Jesus has already done what you're trying to do. Jesus moved heaven to earth. Heaven now lives on the inside of you. And for you to, oh, we bind these demons and we block this and we bind this and we loose that. No, God, pour out your spirit. No, God, send revival. It's the wrong way to pray. I know some of you are thinking, oh, it's a way I've been praying forever. Well, let me ask you this. How much good has it done? You've been praying for 20 years. Have you seen revival yet? You still crying for a revival? If you start recognizing who you are in Christ and what He's given you, and you go out and you start seeing the dead raised and blind eyes open, you'll have all the revival you can handle. Jesus never sent intercessors into a city to pray before he got there and prepare the soil. He sent some of his disciples into a city to announce that he's coming. Publicity is in the Bible. It's scriptural to put an ad in the paper. If they'd had papers back then, he'd have done it. But he just sent two of his disciples to announce that Jesus was coming. So that's scriptural, but you can't find Jesus sending the disciples in. You can't find Jesus saying, oh, there's an oppression over this place. We can't minister. Can you imagine Jesus walking into Jerusalem with his 12 disciples following along like 12 little ducks? Following their mom into Jerusalem, and he gets on the outskirts of Jerusalem and he stops and says, guys, do you feel that? I believe that the devil's in Jerusalem. We can't go in there. We can't do that. That's the way a lot of Christians do it. And because they don't know who they are. They don't know the power that they have. I'm telling you, in the Spirit, you are a completely brand new person that now has the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in you bodily. That's what it says in Colossians chapter 2. And yet Christians are going around like, oh, I'm so discouraged and depressed. You cannot be discouraged if you know who you are in Christ. You can have problems. Satan will come against you and fight. But if you know who you are in Christ, you know that it doesn't matter what weapon is formed against you, you're going to prosper. But the average Christian doesn't believe that salvation is a reality now. They think it's all going to take place when we go to heaven. And they are praying either about heaven, they're just trying to hold on until they get to heaven, or they're asking God for a little bit of grace down here and a little bit of power to flow, but they don't know that they already have God's supernatural power in them, and they are, instead of saying, I've got it, and therefore, I'm going to release it, and I'm going to see the power of God manifest in my life. Most Christians are singing, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. I was an old sinner, but I got saved by grace, and I am now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And you might look at me and think, I don't believe you. Because you're only looking on my outside and you're listening to my voice and you may not like my Texas accent and you may have a prejudice against Americans. Most people do. And you may not like a lot of things about me, but you can't see who I really am. In the spirit, I'm awesome. I'm powerful. You just don't know who I am. And some of you think, wow, you arrogant American. No, I'm not an arrogant American. I am a knowing believer, amen. I know who I am and what I have in Christ. And if you're going around saying, well, I'm nobody, I couldn't do anything. You don't know who you are in Christ. If you're saying, but it's cancer, I can't do anything about cancer. You don't know who you are in Christ. You have an identity problem. You just think you're an old sinner, saved by grace. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and I'm just going to start using some scriptures to tell you what happened to you in the spirit realm. And some of you think, well, why are we using the scripture? If you want to see if your hair is combed, how can you tell if your hair is combed? You have to look in a mirror. You can't see your hair. Now, some of you that have long hair might be able to pull it around. But I'm saying you can't see the top of your head or the back of your head. How do you know that it's combed? You have never seen the top of your head. Some of you think, well, I have to. No, you've seen a reflection. You've seen a picture. You might be able to reach up here and touch it and feel it, but you with your eyes have never looked at your face. You've never seen your face. You can't see your face. What's somebody laughing at? Can you see your face? You might be able to see your nose if you look real hard. But you've never seen your face. Here's my point. Even though you can't see your face, your hair, you look in a mirror and you trust what you see and you take appropriate action. But you have never seen your face. You've never seen your hair. And yet you know and you trust that you know what you look like. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that whoever looks into the Word of God is like a man beholding his face in a mirror. It calls the Word of God a spiritual mirror. If I want to see if my hair is combed, I don't just go by how it feels. You know, I hope that my hair is combed right now, but I couldn't tell you if my hair is combed. It was when I left. But I can't tell by how I feel. I would have to look in a mirror to tell you whether my hair is combed. If I want to know if my spirit, what it's like, I can't just go by how I feel. And this is what most Christians make the mistake. They think, if I was these things you're talking about, if I had the power of God, if I had raising from the dead power on the inside of me, I'd know it. How would you know it? Well, because I know whether I'm hot or cold. I know whether I'm sad or glad. And you are depending upon just physical things. But you can't know spiritual things by any of your five senses. The Bible is a spiritual mirror. If you want to know what your spirit's like, you just have to open it up. And what does it say? John chapter 6, verse 63 says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That was Jesus talking. The Word of God is spirit. The Word of God is telling you who you are in Christ. And this is why some people read the scriptures and they say the Bible is so hard to understand because it says I can do all things. And then they go look in the mirror and they think, I can't do all things. They're trying to find that in their natural self. It says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And they go look in the mirror and they think, oh, he's bound to look better than this. I got gray hairs. I've got bulges. I've got age spots. I've got things that are wrong. Jesus, and you just say the Bible is so hard to understand. It's talking about your spirit. It's describing who you are in the spirit, the part of you that is old things passed away and all things are become new. So what does the spiritual mirror, what does the word say about you? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, put on the new man, talking about that born again part, that old things are passed away, all things are become new. Put on the new man, which after God is created in true righteousness and true holiness. You are created righteous and truly holy. You know, I hear people all of the time praying and saying, oh God, make me holy. Oh God, make me righteous. Get born again. The moment you get born again, your spirit is created in righteousness and true holiness. And when people are saying, oh God, make me righteous, they're talking about in their actions. They're talking about in the way that they think. But here's one of the great truths that I learned through all of this. You don't change from the outside in. You don't change by quitting smoking and drinking and cussing and lying and stealing and changing all of these out things. And if you will change your actions, then somehow you become holy on the inside. Holiness happens the moment you get born again. You are created. Notice it says that you are created righteous and truly holy. You aren't becoming. You aren't becoming better. You were created instantly righteous and truly holy at the moment of salvation. And if you knew that, if you knew what happened to you and knew who you were in Christ, then holiness becomes a fruit and not a root of salvation. It's the byproduct of relationship with God, not the way to relationship to God.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the almost too good to be true news of the gospel. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM238 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I know that there's many of you today that this has touched your heart and you say, man, we need to be strong. We need to stand for the Word. You are for what I'm doing. But you know what? If you have not become a partner with us, I'd like to encourage you to do so. We're now spending over $1 million a month just in television airtime. And I couldn't do that if it wasn't for people who believe that this is something that God has raised up, that God is wanting this truth to get out. I am dependent upon people who help me to do this. If you haven't yet become a partner, I'd like to ask you to pray about it. I'd like to encourage you to become a partner with us today.